Off the ball
on News Talk
in association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
All right, it is 7:30 on a Thursday evening. So, as always, we're talking to John Giles in studio this evening. Evening, John.
Evening, Nathan.
So, we spent last Thursday night talking about the two derbies, at the Manchester Derby in particular. I think your sense was that Manchester United, you had a sneaking fancy, I think was what you said, that if they went for it, if they went at Manchester City, they could really go and win this game. Yeah. What went wrong for them?
Well, they never got at them, to be honest. I think in midfield, Herrera, who I don't rate very much, and Matic never got control of it. You know, City controlled the game, as they have done many other games, but I didn't think they'd be able to do it on this particular occasion. But they did, and they played exceptionally well. There's no doubt. I think there was times the match wasn't such a great quality, but City deserved to win the game. There's no doubt about that. They were the better team.
It seemed in the early stages that Herrera and Matic were almost trying to do a man-marking job on De Bruyne and Silva. But again, never got that press on them, never got to grips on them. Was that just they were sitting too deep? Were they not aggressive enough?
No, I don't think it was a question of not getting close enough to them, Nathan. I mean, what happened, I think, Manchester United, when they were on the ball, they didn't use it very well. And obviously, if you don't use it very well, you're giving it to the opposition. Mm. So, Manchester City didn't have to get tired on them, you know? And I think Herrera and Matic certainly... City used the ball a lot better. De Bruyne and Silva didn't give the ball away like Manchester United were giving away. So it doesn't matter who you are or how tight you're getting or not getting tight with people if you yourself are giving the ball away. See, it's one thing getting tight in the opposition. The other thing is to use the ball as well yourself. And there's an old saying, there's only one ball on the pitch. And if you're giving it away, it means the opposition have it. And that happened a lot. And Manchester City were on top, mainly because of that situation. And they defended badly, which is unusual for a Mourinho team. I mean, two set pieces. The first was a corner kick. I didn't see anybody mention it, but Matic was in a position, the way they covered the 6-yard line. And when the ball was in the air, he went out. He just ran out. So he left it. Yeah, left it. I saw a few of the analysts doing it, and they didn't pick up on that. Maybe they didn't think it was important enough, but I thought it was because he was in that position where you're covering the near post for any, corners coming in, you get away. And as the ball was in the air, he's getting out of his position. And if you look where the goal was scored, it was knocked back in. It was scored exactly from the position he was in.
Yeah.
So that's very unlike a Mourinho team. And the second one was a disaster. But again, if you go back, on what happened on it, the lead up to it was actually a free kick for Manchester United. And it was Herrera again. Herrera very seldom goes for the ball. He's always giving silly free kicks away. He gets in trouble with the referees. Actually, when he should be tackling, he's not tackling. And he gave a silly free kick away. If you ever watch it again, go back on it, which led to the goal. Now, it doesn't always lead to a goal, but Lukaku was back and he made a mess of it. But if you don't give the free kick away, then you don't lose the goal. So that's all part of it. You know, our Trapattoni used to go, all the small things in football.
Mm.
That's what he'd be talking about. I mean, small. Don't give silly free kicks away. You know, mark up and get up. But overall, if you look at the match overall, Nathan, I think City played well. They didn't come with any, which they don't with Guardiola. Whether it's home or away, he has the same philosophy. When we get the ball, we're going to use it. When we haven't got it, we're going to try and get it back. And that's the oldest philosophy in the game, and I think it's the correct one. So when they play away, like at Old Trafford, this was a big game. If you go back a few weeks ago when Mourinho played at Liverpool, he played for a draw. Like, you're never seeing Guardiola playing for a draw.
Do you think he played for a draw last Sunday?
No, they just weren't good enough. Again, if you give the ball away as much as they did in relation to Manchester City, then you're going to be on the back foot anyway. So they never, when we were talking last week, I had a sneaking fancy for them because I honestly thought they played really well and get at the Manchester City defence. In fact, they didn't play well at all and never got at them. And City did get at them.
Is that simply that Matic and Herrera, the type of players they are, and Jesse Lingard was in there as well? I know he went with the front three this time, which he seemed to have moved away from Rashford, Martial and Lukaku, but that midfield three of Lingard, Herrera and Matic, are they simply not good enough to get on the ball? Day.
I don't think Herrera's good enough anyway. I think Matic is very, very good.
Did they miss Pogba?
I don't think they missed him. I don't think he would have influenced the game that much to make that much difference. I think he would have influenced the game more than Herrera did because he didn't influence the game at all. But when you look at Pogba playing, Pogba does most of his spectacular, it's more spectacular than steady. or getting control of the ball. I mean, he got on the ball at the edge of the box and he'd beat a player to get a shot and he'd cross it and that. But where the game can be won and lost is actually deep in the middle of the field. And you don't see Pogba that much deep in the middle of the field. You know, like Mourinho described him as the all-round midfielder. I don't think he is. Mm. He does certain things well and he's very attractive at what he does. But really for getting a hold of the game, getting control, like Silva did and De Bruyne did, Pogba's not capable of doing that. But he would have been better than Herrera. But I don't think good enough to really change the course of the game.
Most of the talk after the game wasn't about what actually happened on the pitch, no. Which maybe suited Mourinho down to the ground. It was about the bust-up in the tunnel. Hmm. Like, did Mourinho have a point? Was the celebrations from the Manchester City players, was it over-exuberant?
No. He had no case, Nathan. In my experience in football, it's the first time I ever heard a manager go into the opposing dressing room because they were celebrating too much. When you lose a big match like that, I mean, I've been in a few, but we lost a few. You have to suck that up.
Mm.
You just have to do it. You know, you lose, and that's the end of it. But to go into a dressing room and say you're celebrating too much, disrespectful. I mean, who is Mourinho to talk about disrespect in anything? He just couldn't take it. He just could not take this defeat because I think he knows City are a better team. They're going better than him. They were better on the day. They deserve to win. And he couldn't take it. I mean, I was on the end of defeats, for example. One of the biggest humiliations in cup football when Sunderland beat us, who were a second division team, we were odds on at Wembley, and we lost. We lost to Sunderland, right? Saw them going up for the trophy. Thought, this is a bad dream. This is not really happening. And we could hear them in the dressing room. Of course they're likely to do it.
Yeah.
We'd be joining. But you'd never think, oh, they're showing us disrespect. They won. You know, to the victor, the spoils. You have to suck that up and say, well, our day will come. Every dog has his day. But for Mourinho to go into a dressing room who were celebrating a big win in a derby match, you know, to go like, whatever, 11, 12 or 13 points ahead of Manchester, they're entitled to do that.
Yeah.
They're entitled to do it. You cannot, as a manager, say you're being disrespectful. Especially Mourinho. Many times has he been disrespectful to people? He's the fellow who went to Old Trafford. You remember when he ran up the end of the pitch?
Yeah, for Porto.
He did it at Chelsea and they would dive on the players and that. Right, he's getting on to Conte last year for being disrespectful for some reason or other. Mourinho, no.
Yeah.
I've never seen it happen, never heard of it happen before, Nathan.
But it feels like ordinarily that would be a moment almost of learning in the Manchester United dressing room that Mourinho's to his own players, listen to that.
Exactly.
We don't want to hear this ever again.
We don't want to hear this again. Learn from it. Mm. And make sure it should G up not to lose a big match again. But once you lose it, you lose it.
I was surprised hearing from some of the experienced players after the game that it's very unusual for managers to go into the opposition dressing room. Like I know when you're playing youth football, it would be a regular thing that the manager come in and give you a bit of a pat on the back or whatever.
I don't remember managers coming in.
No?
Well, I mean, one or two. But the managers would come in when they won. Managers, in my experience, were very, very bad losers, which you'd expect them to be. And I remember Bobby Robson, they beat us in the sixth round of the cup when he was at Ipswich at Leeds and came into the dressing room. You know, and said, what a great team you lads are and all that. Be honest, I didn't want to hear it. We'd lost. I felt like, look, Bobby, get the hell out. You know, but Bobby, like a lot of the managers in my experience, like only think of their own team, Nathan. In my experience with managers, when you won a match or lost the match, we beat Manchester United 4-0 one time when I was at West Brom and Tommy Docker was the manager and he came in. Well, didn't say well done or anything. It'll teach them a lesson. They needed a kick up the backside.
Right. Yeah.
All about his team.
Yeah.
Not about like, oh, well done, John. Bobby Robson was the same. Bobby was a terrible loser. I played against...
So it's not about respect for the opposition.
Nah, it's rubbish. We played Ipswich one time. Actually, it was on the day of my birthday when I was at West Brom. I think I was 36 at the time. They gave us a hiding 7-0. They were absolutely brilliant. Mariner and these guys, Beattie, they were terrific. Beat us 7-0 on the day. Absolutely brilliant. I think 2 months later, we played them at the Hawthorns. And we beat them 4-0. Actually, Brian Robson scored a hat-trick on the night.
Right.
And I saw Bobby Robson afterwards. And do you know what he said? He said, how can you dominate a team for 70 minutes and lose 4-0? True, Scott. There was no, well done, John. You got a bit of your own back and all that. And that's my experience of managers. Bad losers, you know. Now, nobody's a good loser. But I never heard of anybody going into a dressing room and... Like I told you with Sunderland. Sunderland beat us in the cup final. We had to listen to them, you know, celebrate. Yeah. And good luck to them, you know. And time passes. Like we it was a humiliation for us, but we were a good solid lads, stuck together. Couldn't wait for the next season to start. We got dreadful press and everything. We went 29 matches unbeaten to go on and win the league. Sunderland was still in the second division. Now, time passes. You have to take that. You have to take, it's not nice, but you have to take it on the chin.
What were you like as a manager when you lost the big game? Did you ever go into an opposition dressing room?
No. I never went in win or lose. I don't think it was, never ever thought it was appropriate to do it. Because if you go in when you win, you're a bit smug.
Yeah.
And if you win when you lose, you're not in the best of form anyway. But you have to take it up. Everybody gets bad losses. Everybody.
Would you have felt when you went into post-match press conferences and when you did media after games as a manager that you were always honest, or at times were you having to convince yourself or convince your players that maybe it was different to the reality?
No, I never did. Honestly, Nathan, I never believed in, my players are perfect, so something else must have happened. In the long run, you don't win at that game. You have to face the facts. I mean, what Mourinho should be doing after the match should be down, quiet now, and saying, we did this wrong, we did that wrong, and learn from it. Game is over. It's done. It's learned. But you have to learn from it. And it's like any player, any manager. As a player even, the reason that you should get better is because you learn from every match you play. And the more matches you play, you should get better. Right? Now, there's an old saying in football, with certain players, he's played for 10 years, but he's only got 1 year's experience. Doesn't learn anything. And there's a guy who played for 1 year, he's got 10 years experience. How much you learn? And management's the same. Like, I think what Mourinho should be doing, actually, is analysing the game as best he can. Where did we go wrong on it? Not the celebrations of the opposition. That's rubbish. And it's a bit like, I don't like to see the managers now. No, I know it's very Klopp and Conte particularly, dashing up and down the line.
Yeah.
You know? And people often say to me, I ever encourage the players. Now, I can assure you, Nathan, the players wouldn't even be aware that he's running up and down the line. And the players can't hear. When you're a player, you don't hear what the manager's saying. And I think when my take on management was, watch it, analyse it, don't lose your head one way or the other. Don't get too loud, don't get too high. You're analysing the game, right? And I think if you're running up and down the pitch and you're in that, you can't be analysing the game. So you have to keep very, very control of your emotions. That's what I believe. And it's attractive for the crowd to see Klopp jumping around and diving around and Conte. But I don't think it actually helps. Honest.
Let's talk about Liverpool then and talk about Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah.
Firstly, had he any cause for complaint? Was it a penalty?
Oh, definitely. Definitely a penalty. And the main thing about Klopp, and it happens with managers, and this is what I said before, they hate to see the faults in their own team. The team has to be great, you know? Like my father had an expression, was a football manager. He said, managers, he said, all the geese are swans. In other words, they don't want to see, and sometimes they don't know what they see wrong. Second of all, they don't know how to put it right. So I think Klopp is in that position, actually, as a defendant and manager who is defending his players, but doesn't know how to defend the actual play. So what he did was he picked on the referee instead of picking on Lovren. Now, I don't mean he should have to do it publicly. Well, I mean, he could pull him to one side and say, what are you doing there? That fellow was going away from the goal. Give him 2 or 3 yards. Instead, Lovren made a mistake, got too close to him, and centre forward knew it, but he should have been giving him 2 yards. He shouldn't have been anywhere near him. So he gives a penalty. So when Klopp is asked, like he could have said, well, to be fair, my centre-half didn't do well. Mm. No, they didn't deserve a penalty. It's the referee's fault. It's always the referee's fault because it's nothing to do with them. But this has a lot to do with him. This was his defender defending badly. But he couldn't take it, he said. They didn't deserve the penalty. Not that it didn't matter whether you deserved a penalty or not. It's the circumstances in which the penalty was given. And I think it was absolutely right. And he turned on the lad interviewing him. He says, I want to talk to somebody who knows something about football. Again, he couldn't take it, you see, with the situation. I think he should be calm in that situation and blame it on his own players. Because if he's not teaching the defender not to be doing that, it's his fault.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Do you sense he's almost protecting himself? Because I think there was a feeling that he was protecting Dejan Lovren by not criticising him. But actually, if he was to criticise Lovren, then you can start asking the question of, well, he did similar things against Tottenham. He's done similar things 4 or 5 this season.
Yeah.
Why are you still picking him? Why aren't you able to correct it?
But that's exactly right, Nathan. That's why managers don't want to. You see, and I think in Klopp's case, you wonder, does he see it and doesn't do anything about it? Or worse still, does he not see it and can't do anything about it? I think it's the second one. Right, because you talk about, I think we talked about Moreno before, the left back. He gets into some terrible positions week after week after week. And you'd say, well, the manager should put him right on that.
Mm.
Now, he either doesn't see that and doesn't see it, or he sees it and he doesn't do anything about it. And one's as bad as the other. And that's what's happened with Klopp, you see. He's like, they're brilliant at matches, as we see. But he'll never be consistent enough because they lose too many goals. And a few weeks ago when they lost a bad goal at Newcastle, for example, they did dominate the game. They missed chances. But he concentrated on missing chances, right? But you can miss chances and still win 1-0. You know, a lot of teams do that over the years. Didn't play well, didn't miss the chances, but they don't concede a goal. In other words, if you're missing chances, it doesn't mean you have to concede a goal.
Yeah.
And it was, they've done that quite a few times. So instead of concentrating on, no, that shouldn't have happened, let's look at the chances we missed. That's his philosophy. You see, you can see the way the team plays. The way a team plays is always the manager's philosophy. And it's go, 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 go. And on days, which it was leading up to the match at the weekend, absolutely brilliant. And at times against Everton, it was brilliant. But you're not going to be on top for 90 minutes in every match. You have to defend somewhere along the line. And they don't do it well, Liverpool. And I don't think he's learned from it. It's still there, that fault.
I wanted to talk to you about Christian Benteke and the penalty incident. Do you have any sympathy for Christian Benteke? He's the main striker at Crystal Palace, hasn't scored any goals all season. It's injury time. There's a chance to be the match winner. The confidence that'll give you, like, you feel as though you have a responsibility to your team to score goals, and here's a chance for you to be the hero.
Well, I think that is a case you could put forward, Nathan. But like in professional football, it shouldn't happen. Like if you have a designated penalty taker takes the scene. The player can say, "I'm going to give me that ball." I said, "Where was there one there a while ago? And there was a row. Do you remember who took the penalty and the fella missed it as well?" If you have a designated penalty kicker, if a penalty kicker doesn't become a penalty kicker just when the penalty kick is given. I was a penalty taker for Leeds for 10 years. You live with being a penalty taker. I knew before every match, before we ever went on the pitch, this is where I'm going to put the ball. That's what I'm going to do. I don't care about the goalkeeper because, again, it's a mental thing, goalkeeping. My attitude was, well, if there's a goal there, the goalkeeper's in the middle. If I knock it into one corner, a 50% chance straight away of getting it right because he's got to go one way or the other. So you have that in your head. And the second thing was, if he does guess right, I'm going to hit this hard enough to beat him. Because when we played the home match, I used to go on Saturday morning with Dave Harvey, the goalkeeper, reserve goalkeeper sometimes, and practice the penalties.
Right.
That's what I was going to do. Regardless of the goalkeeper, who he was, what he was, I'm going to watch the ball. That's what I'm going to do.
And would that be half an hour, every single one to the same corner?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do today. Of course, next week it could be different. You couldn't do it away from home because you wouldn't want to be seen doing. But generally speaking, but all week you live with that. You know, I mean, I could think on a Tuesday before a Saturday match, if I got a penalty, this is what I'm doing. You become a penalty taker, right? So you don't give somebody the ball in the last second, right? And the manager went mad about it, quite rightly, because he's the designated penalty taker. And it's a state of mind in doing it. And it goes against all the discipline from a manager. You know, the manager, Hodgson would hate that. He'd say, what's he taking the penalty for? That's our designated penalty taker there, right? And I had an experience with it at Leeds myself because we had a lad called Albert Johansson playing. Very, very good player. And we were winning a European Cup match and we were winning 6-0 or 7-0 and he'd scored two goals. And it was the last couple of minutes. And the crowd was shouting for Albert to take the penalty. And I said no. Because I knew if it was a semi-final match and a minute to go, Albert would have been one of the last persons that would want to take the penalty kick.
Right.
So you get the good days and the bad days. Yeah. And that was my attitude. Now, it didn't do me any favours whatsoever with the crowd.
They wanted to see him get the hat trick.
Yeah, they didn't like it at all.
And what was his reaction?
He was okay.
And did you have to go up and forcefully grab the ball off him?
No, he never took the ball. He never took the ball, to be fair. He never took the ball. But he would have done. I mean, he didn't come and say, take it off out of my hands or anything. I would have given him a belt of the ball if he tried that. But the crowd was shouting, you know, his match is over. And I thought, no, there's good days. You have your good days and your bad days. There's easy penalties. There's difficult penalties. And the pressure's on in sixth round of a cup and you're 1-0 down or, you know, I remember playing against Swansea when they were in the fourth division, we were 1 down, playing terrible. This was going to be a real upset. We got a penalty. It was one of the most nervous I've ever been, taking a penalty. You'd think it was nothing. Actually, I went on to win the match, but we were really, really struggling. Albert wouldn't come forward to take it then. You know, but that was my attitude to it. But the crowd didn't like it. I went down in the list of favouritism.
You scored it, I presume.
I scored it, yeah. But they didn't care about that. We were six up anyway. You know what I mean, Nathan? But that was only my attitude to it. No, I'm the penalty taker, and good days, bad days, I'm going to take the penalties.
Did you relish the the penalty taking? Did you relish the nerves, almost the responsibility that came with it?
I wouldn't say I relished it. I wouldn't say I relished it, because it is a responsibility, and you're expected to score penalties.
Mm.
So you have to do it. What happened was, when I went to Leeds first, I think we had a lad called Willie Bell was taking the penalties, he missed a few. Somebody else was taking them and they missed a few. So I was down the list. I didn't say, oh, I want to take them. And then we played in the match. Billy was taking penalties. He scored a couple, but we played Blackpool. I'll never forget Blackpool in a night match. He missed two on the trot. And I'd missed one before that. So he stopped.
So you were in.
He was stopped taking them. So then I didn't volunteer for anything. I mean, Ravi must have said, you have a go. So, which I did. But I wasn't saying, I want to take it. But when I was taking it, I thought, well, that's it. I'm going to have the responsibility of doing it now. And whether it's a big match or a small match or a middle match, I'm the penalty taker. And that's it.
Did you see it as a mental battle between you and the goalkeeper? Did you feel you could psych him out of it?
Well, yeah. Well, it was. Well, what my attitude to the penalty was, don't psych yourself out of it.
Right.
Right? Because you don't know what he's going to do. You can only concentrate what you do. But you can get yourself in a certain frame of mind, what I mentioned early on. When you go out to take the penalty, if you put it in one corner or the other, in your head, not in your head, but mentally, I have a 50% chance of scoring. Anyway, never look at the goalkeeper. Because if you look at a goalkeeper, they're big, they get bigger and bigger. And there's less room in where you see it, depending on your mentality, but that's usually what happens. So you don't look at it. You have in your head, this is what I'm going to do. If the goalkeeper goes the right way, but I'm assuming when I was practicing penalties, the goalkeeper, if I'm going to hit it to the left, the goalkeeper's going to go to his left. So I've got to hit it hard enough and well enough that even if he goes that way, he's not going to stop it. Right? So all the time you're easing your own mentality for the penalties. Because if you go into a penalty and you haven't done all this, say, well, if he goes to the left, he might guess the right way. That all the things go through your head. And you finish up looking at the goalkeeper instead of the ball. And you're a bag of nerves. Whereas all week, you see, you live with being a penalty taker. All week you think, okay, Monday I might think we're playing Chelsea on the Saturday. This is what I'm going to do. Say Peter Bernetti was the goalkeeper. I might have scored a penalty against him before. Do I go the same way? Do I go a different way? And I know he's thinking the same, right? But I can't do anything about what he's thinking. I'm going to say, right, I don't care what happens. That's where I'm going to put it. So you live with all that. So your nerves are not so bad. You've made up your mind all week. This is what I'm going to do. If you go to a penalty kick and you haven't made up your mind, you probably won't score.
Had you the same technique throughout that decade or so you were taking penalties? Had you the same run-up, the same...
Oh, yeah.
Same. Would you look in the corner you were going to kick
no.
it?
No.
It was just down at the ball?
One of the secrets... Not secret, but one of the big thing in it. You have to run up to the ball the same way as whether you're putting it in the left and the right. You have to, because I watch... Well, we all watch penalties. If you see a fella taking a penalty, say with his right foot, and there's a big curve on his run, you can only put it to his left. Because you can't get your body in the right shape to put it to that side. So the goalkeeper now is looking at that, and they can read that. So you have to practice that whatever way I run up to it, I can knock it left or right. Because that's what the goalkeeper is thinking, you see.
I'm going to say, like all great penalty takers, you don't remember any of the misses.
Oh, I do. Actually, it's the misses I remember rather than the ones I scored. That's what happens, yeah.
Is there anyone that particularly stands out?
Well, there was none that... Well, I played against Liverpool. It might have been the League Cup match, and we got a penalty in the last 5 minutes. It was a draw at the time, and I hit the upright with it. So I'd remember, but I didn't miss any in semi-finals, one that cost us a league or anything like that. You know.
Yeah. Let's end on a positive note. Then was the Swansea one the most important one? What was that?
Well, it was the most nervous I was in, because you're playing Swansea. They were a fourth division team. We're playing them at Leeds. We're playing rubbish, absolute rubbish. I think we were a goal down, and this was a had to score situation, which I did score, and we went on to win 2-1. But we were jammy that day. We didn't deserve it, right? And we were one of the top teams. This would have been a huge shock.
Yeah.
So I was more nervous actually in taking that one than most of the other. You'd have to be a bit nervous taking the penalty. But once you, as I say, you have to get yourself in a state of mind. You're not suddenly taking the penalty. Like in your head, you're taking the penalties all week. That's what I'm going to do. Made up my mind.
It's just another job for you in the field.
Your mind is made up. If you go taking a penalty, and like golf, it's like a golfer on a vital putt 10 yarder. If he doesn't really know what he's going to do, he's not going to make it. The same with a penalty kick. Because your mind is all over the place. And the goalkeeper's dictating to you, mind-wise, right? And nine times you'll whip it too wide. You'll put it too near the goal. But your just mind won't be on where it should be on, because you've got to cut out all the noise, all the excitement, all the various bits to be do it the way you've thought you would do it all week. Because everything is, so you can get images in your mind of playing football, Nathan. Like, say you're in a, I play in a match now on a Monday, I used to do it, visualization. I didn't know what it was at the time. I'm dispossessed, right? I'm in bed and I'm going into a little bit of a trance and thinking, how did that happen? Right? Because you can't practice the unexpected. If you say to somebody, come up to me unexpectedly, yeah, you know he's going to do it. So those things happen. But if you do it, well, I found anyway, if I put myself back in that situation, this, how did I lose that ball? This guy came with desk and you work it out. That's how I lost it. Now the next thing you work out, how do I do it if it happens again? And it's amazing what your mind can do. You know what I mean? When you get in that situation again, because it happens so quickly, your mind reacts. It's like when you learn to drive, you know? Most people anyway, you learn to drive, and then when you learn to drive, you get to a place you can't even remember how you change the gears. And it's a bit like that I found in football. It's more complicated. But you say, I got dispossessed on Saturday. A fella came here. How did I do that? I should have been in the wrong place. Should have been. But you work it out. And then you go over it so many times that when it happens again, because nobody can, you can't say, oh, this is going to happen. You just react.
It's a second nature to you.
Second nature to you, yeah, if you do it that way. I mean, it's a bit similar to taking penalties. It's a mental thing. Like you're playing on Saturday, but on a Monday, you'd be saying, if we get a penalty, this is the way I'm going to do it. And then during the week, you'd practice doing that. You might take 10, 12 penalties in the one spot. That's what you're going to do. Because I've seen lads taking penalties and their indecision is final. Yeah. You know, they don't know which. In the end, their head is muddled because if the goalkeeper goes that way and if he goes that way and if this happens, and the goalkeeper in their head is dictating to you rather than the other way around. Never look at the goalkeeper. Watch the ball and knock it, whatever corner you've made up to do it, but knock it hard enough that if it goes the right way, but that eases your mind, you see. It doesn't always work, but when you're taking the penalty, it actually eases your mind that you're not indecisive about it. If he does this or he does that, this is what I'm going to do, and go and do it.
Nice little penalty taking clinic to wrap up. Great stuff as always, John. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks, Nathan.
Off the ball on Newstalk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.